The shower in spots, a high 49, and then times of clouds and sun Friday, mild with a high 55. It's time for the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We're taking the Sunbury Motors Studio on the road. How about that?
Hey, the Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile. It only makes sense.
Oh, it's absolutely mobile. I can tell you that right now. Here in beautiful West Lafayette, which is exactly where it belongs. There's nothing like West Lafayette when it's 71 degrees. Can you believe that?
You're kidding me. It's not 71 degrees.
It is 71 degrees here right now.
I'm going on to AccuWeather.com. I can't believe that.
So, yeah, it's 71. It's sunny. I know we're flying back into some rain tonight as Penn State gets ready to take on Purdue tonight. And a frightening thought was that Matt Painter said that Penn State, after playing them the first time, taught his team how to play the game. Well, now they're playing rough tumble, and they're going after every loose ball, and they've become a more dangerous team. They're going after their 20th win tonight. It is senior night with Ryan Smith, Lewis Jackson, and some kid named Hummel playing for the final time at Mackey Arena tonight.
Some kid.
And Hummel, to his credit, is about as nice a kid as you'd ever want to meet. Down to earth, great to talk with. It's just he's just a tough guy to play against. And Penn State is in some trouble tonight because Cam Woodyard is not going to play. In fact, today in practice, he injured his foot, and in all likelihood, his career at Penn State is over.
Oh, man.
So he is on crutches. He's in a boot. And he is a no-go tonight and probably a no-go the rest of the way, depending on x-rays. So Matt Glover is going to start tonight for Penn State against Purdue. They lose a shooter on the road. Unfortunately for Cam, he had not been a great road player anyway. But still, he's one of your seniors. Now you have senior day with Billy Oliver and Cam Woodyard walking out there. And neither one's going to be able to play probably on Sunday. So that's the good news here. How's everything going there?
Let's see. It's about 40 degrees, rainy and miserable. And you're not lying. It is. I'm looking at 67 and sunny on the AccuWeather website. I'm impressed. I thought sure you were making that up.
I'm not making it up.
Oh, man.
No, it's exactly where it is. Now, Joe Lenardi on the show yesterday I thought was interesting because he gave us a really good, solid rundown of the field of 68, and especially not just the field of 68, but really the field of 37. Those are the 37 at-large teams for the NCAA tournament. And Northwestern has a pivotal game tonight against Ohio State. The game is in Evanston. When they played in Evanston a year ago, Ohio State won the game 57-56. Now, the first time they played in Columbus this year, Ohio State won with relative ease. Ohio State is not playing very well right now. They are not playing very well right now. And that's something that if you're Northwestern, in a lot of ways, tonight is your shot. I think if you felt Michigan was your shot last week and didn't quite get it done, tonight's your shot. Now, one of the problems we're going to have with that 1-3-1 is that Sullinger is going to be able to exploit Sobolewski on the baseline. And that is going to be an issue in tonight's game. That's the 8:30 game tonight. That is the back end of the doubleheader. Also, this is where the Big Ten Wrestling Championships are going to be. They will be in Mackey Arena on Friday and Saturday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll have the Big Ten Wrestling Championships here, while the women's basketball team will be playing at the Fieldhouse in Indianapolis starting Friday at 6 against the winner of Wisconsin and Minnesota. And should they get through that, then they would probably face the winner of Purdue-Michigan State. Purdue, of course, will be a home team. Michigan State, meanwhile, would be a team that the Lady Lions, that's the one team in this whole thing, they don't match up well against. These don't match up very well with them. The Twitter thing.
The Twitter thing?
Yeah, I'm back to winning again.
Why? Did you go on over? What, did you have a layover that you had plenty of time to go ahead and click? Because I'm looking at it right now, and I don't see it that way.
No, it looks like it's 83-17 me.
83-17. The question is, should Steve Jones tweet more? Absolutely is 83%. Now, how are you winning?
Because my goal was, if I had received more than 15%, that was going to be enough.
I figured you were going to pull the my name on the show card, but you didn't.
So that's
all right.
I haven't stopped you from tweeting.
Oh, I was tweeting my fingers off last night.
About what?
Well, I was at the Shikellamie Shamokin girls basketball game, sitting behind the chief, and I was tweeting updates throughout the evening.
You weren't offering advice again, were you?
Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I had no advice to offer.
Now, that was a 62-50 defeat, right?
60-50, yeah.
60-50. So, yeah, that's a tough one. Now, of course, we get... Now, tonight, Bucknell plays Navy, and that will be in Lewisburg. Now, they had talked to us about going over on Wednesday.
Yes, that's a possibility.
Except I can't do it.
That's the other problem.
Now, you can do it, but the reason I can't do it, that's the travel day.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but you're right.
Because Penn State plays Thursday. We're traveling at 2:30 on Wednesday next week. So I would have enjoyed doing that very much and being a part of that. And I think it would have been a great experience. But at the same time, it can't happen, at least on my end. If Monday or Tuesday we can do it.
Well, we'll take a look at that. That might be that's a possibility. I don't know if we have a flight coming out of Penn Valley Airport that might be able to help you out or not.
No, you're not going to be able to. That's not happening. I'm getting on the old charter on Wednesday afternoon and flying to Indianapolis, where we have reservations at Harry and Izzy's.
See, that's why you really want to do it.
No, in fact, I don't even know what time Penn State plays on Thursday yet. So, 2 o'clock? Yeah, might be a 2 o'clock game. Might be 2 o'clock on Thursday. So, might be Indiana, of all teams. I'm watching SportsCenter today, and of course, there are too many SportsCenters, right? Because they talk about too many inane things, right? Today's inane topic on SportsCenter is, what are Indiana's chances of winning the national championship? How about not that great? They'll again be in the tournament. They may win a round, but I can't see them going. In fact, the best I can see them doing is making the Sweet 16. Depends on matchups. But they have Zeller, but they don't have the other guys around them. I think Watford's a good player. Oladipo's a good athlete. Halls is a good shooter. But this is the same team that won 12 games last year. Right? You add Zeller, now they're a 23-game winner or a 22-game winner. That makes a big difference. And they're talking over and over about whether they're an NCAA tournament team or not. I mean, whether they're a national championship contender, because obviously they're in the tournament. They'll be seeded rather well out of all this. Purdue's in the tournament. Purdue already has 9 wins. Tonight's senior night. Between this and Sunday or Saturday, they get to 10 wins. They're an automatic. They're trying to win their 20th game for a 6th consecutive year under Matt Painter. And that's, and with Robbie Hummel back, Hummel, to his credit, is playing probably the best basketball of his season right now. And I'm not that surprised by that, because Hummel is now 2 years removed from the ACL on one knee. He's now 16 to 17 months removed on the ACL from the other knee. That's about the time you would expect his body to respond properly. Did you run away?
No, I was thinking about what you were talking about with the tournament. So I was looking at some of the placements here of said tournament, and you know, the first thought would be possibly a 5:30 game on Thursday.
Okay.
And maybe maybe the game that would follow that around 8-ish.
Okay, as either what, a 5:12 game?
No, I was going 6:11. 5:12 would be your probably afternoon game.
That's the 2:00 game.
Yeah, that would be well, see, I don't have a time. All it says is 25 minutes after. 25 minutes after, I'm assuming the first game, which would be a likely assumption, but I love those start times. Love those start times.
Well, they...
Not worried about radio, I know that.
yeah, but you know what, it's a little more realistic now than it used to be. I mean, I always like the ones say, I'm going to start 20 minutes after the... Or they just tell you it's 7 and 9. It's not going to be 7 and 9.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You're right.
You know,
Yeah, so you're looking at probably a 2:00 or the nightcap.
Right. So that's what we're looking at right now. And that's... We'll see how it plays out the next two games, but again, Cam is not a part of the mix for those two games. So, and that's tough because you know they need more shooters in this thing. And there's a guy, especially at home, he is a much better shooter at home than he is on the road. He's actually struggled. I think he's below 30% on the road. Hey, he just felt bad for him. He's getting on the elevator. He's on crutches. He's in a boot. And I'm looking at him thinking, yeah, I looked at him and said, yeah, this is great. He says, yeah, this is great.
Well, this game could actually be a preview because this one potentially could happen again in the first round. Tonight's game.
Right. Well, everything's so bunched. There are a bunch of possibilities right now. There are a lot of possibilities right now.
Hey, listen.
What could potentially happen.
At least you know when the next game is. Right now, for... high school side of things, we're still trying to figure out when the championship games are going to be because they kind of ran out of facilities last night. I think the District 4 was really kind of hoping for, no offense to Shamokin, but a Shikellamy win, because Danville ended up winning, the Danville girls win the other half of the semifinal, so they could have a Shikellamy-Danville doubleheader, which means they have it at Shamokin, plenty of room, you don't have to get fans in and out, it's no-brainer for a championship game. It was great. Shamokin wins. Now that leaves the fact that they can't play this boys-girls District 4 AAA doubleheader at Shamokin. They're one of the teams involved. Can't play it at Shikellamy. They're one of the teams involved. Can't play it at Danville. They're one of the teams involved. And that leaves only about two gyms that are probably big enough to house this game. And that probably puts it in either Milton... The other option would be to travel everybody to Williamsport, but Williamsport isn't available because they have wrestling going on there. And the other thing that was kind of discussed was Bloomsburg University, and I don't think that's going to happen right away. So the District 4 hasn't officially yet decided on a time or a location yet. But you're a week out. At least you know where you're going.
Yes, I'm a week out, and I know where we're going. Are the Hershey Bears home?
I don't know. Maybe we can play it at the Giant Center. You know, I've heard Bucknell kicked around at Soika. Well, that's not really going to work out too well with having a potential home game on Saturday as well. So maybe House Gym at Susquehanna University would be the other option that would be a possibility.
Okay, and so why don't you just bring them out to Indianapolis with us? We'll put them on the plane. I'm sure
that's not a bad idea.
Sure, it's a recruiting violation. I understand.
It's a gray area.
I mean, no, it's not. Actually, no, it's not a gray area. It's definitely a violation.
But I'm sure they would love to play that game out there. I'm not sure how much District 4 is going to be ecstatic about that or the fans, but I know I'm ecstatic about that, and the kids have a fun time doing that.
Right. Well, talk to the Bucknell people and see what they want to do about Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
Monday probably being the preferable one for me because, I actually have to do the network talk show on Tuesday night, you know. Forgot about that.
Oh, that's right. That's right because that bumps to Tuesday. You know what? This other stuff that you have going on is really starting to just take time out of our quality time together.
Our what?
Out of our quality time together.
Time? It's 20 after 3. Back with more after this.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza must sell 45 more new Fords by month's end to break an all-time sales record for February.
And they're determined to do it.
SMC has $5,700 off of a new 2011 Ford Edge. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months.
Take $4,000
off a new F-150. Plus, no interest for 5 years. Sunbury Motors has $2,000 off all 2012 Ford Fusions and Escapes. Plus, you get 0% financing for 60 months. Every new vehicle at Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires during this President's Day sales event. Huge discounts plus 0% financing saves you thousands over the length of your loan. SMC has been satisfying more customers since 1915. Why would you buy a new Ford anywhere else? Take advantage today of the President's Day sales event at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. The only place you receive an additional set of tires with your new Ford purchase.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
It's been a long winter, and snow or no snow, we got the blues. But not anymore with Ladies' Night, right, Michelle?
That's right, Tom. It's our Beat the Winter Blues Ladies' Night on Wednesday, March 7th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Oh, what a night. Lots of fun in store for you ladies. Shop with local vendors, sample products, learn of interesting services, enjoy demonstrations, and win great prizes. So come on, call your girlfriends, sisters, mothers, and daughters, and enjoy a night out.
That's Wednesday, March 7th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. At Shamokin Dam Health Center. This is a free event and open to the public. Call 743-4333 to register. That's 743-4333.
Beat the Winter Blues with Ladies Night, Wednesday, March 7th from 6 till 9 p.m. See you there.
It's income tax refund time. Have you considered using it for some home enhancements? Something that will be enjoyed for years to come?
At Dale Wolf Custom Kitchens and Baths, we will help you get the most value for your money. Whether it's cabinets or countertops, we are here to help.
Always free estimates. Always personalized service. Dale Wolf Custom Kitchens and Baths.
Visit our Herndon showroom on Route 225, a quarter mile past the Lime Mountain High School, or on the web at DaleWolfKitchens.com. And like us on Facebook.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Call us at the Tilson Agency in Montoursville at 368-7600 or in Seals Grove at 374-7888.
Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motor Studio on the road in West Lafayette, Indiana. A place where no one has ever broadcast on this station from before.
That's true.
Nor was it a goal.
That's also true.
That's also true. Next week, we'll do our best to be with you from Indianapolis. And the Big Ten Tournament. And that should be, we don't know yet what time they play. We do know where they play. It's also the last year for the tournament on an every-year basis in Indianapolis. They will start rotating between the United Center in Chicago and Indianapolis starting in 2013. And it's interesting. I really have felt, I remember when this debate came up 5 years ago, at that point there were 11 Big Ten announcers. So the Chicago Sun-Times decided to interview each one of us and poll us on various things. What rule would you change? I said the closely guarded five-second rule. I think that's absurd. The closely guarded five-second rule is absolutely absurd. You have a 35-second shot clock. What do you need a closely guarded five-second rule for? You already have 35 seconds on the clock to begin with. I mean, and that's such a judgment call. You notice how that hasn't been called by anybody?
Oh, I see it all. I see it all the time at my level.
No, I haven't seen it one time this year.
But then again, at the high school level, there's no shot clock, so it has more of a role than it does at what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a shot clock. There's no need for that. I mean, so that was an example. The other one they asked was, where should the tournament be put on a permanent basis? And the vote was 9-2 in favor of Indianapolis. And I know that Dave Ennett from Northwestern had to vote for Chicago. I know where the other vote came from. That other vote came from me. And the quote that they used in the Chicago Sun-Times was simple for me. I said, look, the Big East has Madison Square Garden in New York. The Big Ten has Chicago. Use it. Well, after 5 years, 4 years, this will be the fifth in Indianapolis. I really have swung around to the Indianapolis side of thinking, that it's found a great home, that it's in a good spot. I like the atmosphere of the place. Now, were the crowds in Chicago bigger? Yes. In fact, the quarterfinals in Chicago would draw better than 21,000. That's one of the gripes that they've had about Indianapolis of late, is that they're not selling out all sessions. And I think part of that has been Indiana not playing well. I think Indiana now playing well, along with Purdue. Now you have Indiana and Purdue both playing well. Your odds of getting more people and consistent sellouts are available, because Indiana the last 3 years has not been a good basketball team. And I think that has hurt the draw at the Fieldhouse. Yes, Purdue has done well. But Indiana not doing well, I think, has hurt them as a draw with Indianapolis. So they play one more year there. Then they rotate back and forth between Chicago and Indianapolis for the next 5 years of this. And the women's tournament goes to the Rosemont in Chicago next year after they're done with Indianapolis this time through. And next year in Chicago, you know how to come out for that. We'll do the show out there.
Okay, I'm in. You don't have to twist my arm.
You just have to come up with the money.
Well, you didn't say that.
Just did. No, it'll be great. No, it'll be like a buddy trip.
Where I pay for everything and you're the buddy?
I never thought of it that way.
Of course not.
that'd be terrific.
That's even better. Well, you know, we were talking about this Super Bowl, the week after the Super Bowl, how nice Indiana is, or how nice Indianapolis is in particular, with everything around it. I mean, you know, that's just a great setup for stuff like that.
Well, it is a great setup, because all the hotels are in a quad that is located in between the Fieldhouse and Lucas Oil Stadium. And Lucas Oil Stadium would stun you as to how big a structure it is. I think it's, 70,000 seats? But the way the structure is with the retractable roof, when the RCA Dome was still up, they were building Lucas Oil, and the RCA Dome was still up. It was a 60,000-seat dome stadium, inflatable dome stadium. It looked like the Jordan Center next to Beaver Stadium. That's how big Lucas Oil looks. I mean, it's the most dominant structure in downtown.
Lucas Oil Stadium seats 57,890 and 104 suites.
104 suites.
I knew that right off the top of my head, by the way.
And they could get 80,000 in for the Final Four. So they get the Final Four every 5 years, because the NCAA is located in Indianapolis. So, well, we're coming up at the bottom of the hour. Sarah Bartlett in news. Time to brighten up the show here a little bit. It's great to hear the Selins Grove Orchestra. We roll to the bottom of the hour. News with Sarah Bartlett on WKOK. Then more talk. Ron Musselman in the 4 o'clock hour here on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
When you drive down Main Street in West Lafayette, you make a left turn onto Stadium Drive at the Neil Armstrong Hall of Engineering. You then make a right turn onto John Wooden Drive to get to Mackey Arena. And the late John Wooden would never have been happy with this story. The recent downturn in UCLA basketball can be blamed on Coach Ben Howland losing control of his program when a group of prima donna players began to rebel without consequence, according to a Sports Illustrated story. The article first published on the SI.com iPad application late last night and appearing in the magazine's website this morning, paints Howland as a hands-off coach who prefers his players to police themselves but could not maintain discipline with high-profile recruits expected and often receiving star treatment. The magazine said it spoke with more than 12 players and staff members from UCLA's past four teams for the report. It cited numerous anonymous former players and other sources associated with the program alleging widespread fighting amongst teammates, players intentionally injuring others during practice, drinking and smoking marijuana before practices, and using ecstasy at off-campus parties. Many of those deeds went unpunished, according to the report, which alleges Howland allowed an influx of talented but immature recruits to undermine team discipline and morale. Guys drinking, guys doing drugs, guys not taking practice seriously, guys fighting. You won't find that on the pyramid of success, one player said, according to the report, referencing the philosophy embraced by the late UCLA coaching great John Wooden. UCLA's problems began after the last of three consecutive Final Four runs in 2008, according to the article. The 2008-2009 recruiting class of Drew Gordon, Jimison Morgan, Drew Holiday, Malcolm Lee, and Jermaine Anderson were among the highest-rated classes of all time, and many of those players did not grasp the commitment required to succeed in big-time college basketball, according to the story. Gordon, Morgan, and Anderson partied before practice, according to the story, and the sloppy play impacted the quality of practices. Three members of the team allegedly went to a New Year's Eve rave and took ecstasy, the magazine reported. All the while, they chafed at being treated as anything but stars that they were coming out of high school, according to the story. The next season's incoming recruiting class included Reeves Nelson, who wasted little time in trying to establish himself as the resident bully, according to the story. He regularly got into fights and intentionally fouled players with the intent to injure. Nelson and fellow freshman Anthony Stover partnered with Gordon, Anderson, and Morgan to form a crew that would further erode team discipline and unity, according to the report. Asked why he didn't discipline Nelson, Howland told Sports Illustrated, "I firmly believe in the philosophy of giving all my players the chance to do things the right way. They have been challenges with some student-athletes during my tenure at UCLA, and we have utilized plenty of resources to help them, the specifics of which very few people would know anything about." Nelson, the only former player to speak on the record, acknowledged his part in several violent incidents during practices, including fights and fouls responsible for injuries that kept James Keefe, Alex Schremp, and Tyler Trapani out of action. "On all that stuff, I have no trouble admitting I lost control of my emotions sometimes," Nelson said. UCLA put out a series of statements responding to the story. "I've discussed the Sports Illustrated story with Coach Howland and Chancellor Gene Block, and we will continue to address any issues and concerns," Bruins Athletic Director Dan Guerrero said. "Like many in the Bruin family, I'm disappointed. That said, I know that we have and will continue to provide the necessary resources, education, and support for all of our coaches, staff, and student-athletes." Howland's statement said, "Like everyone else, I am always looking forward to improving as both a person and as a coach. I am proud of the coaches, staff, and student-athletes in our program, and I look forward to our future." Block, Guerrero, and Howland were scheduled to conduct teleconferences with the media late this afternoon, Pacific Coast time. A number of former UCLA players weighed in. "I know that there were a few bad eggs in the program, but that happens at every program," according to Minnesota Timberwolves forward and former UCLA standout Kevin Love. He told ESPNLosAngeles.com that. Love played one season at UCLA in 2007-08. Lorenzo Motta, who was UCLA center from 2004 to 2008, was vocal in the support of Howland. "Whoever the snitch is talking bad about UCLA B-ball and Ben Howland really must have no life," he said on his Twitter account. He said that Howland is a great coach and an even better person. If it wasn't for him, I would not be the person I am today, Mata tweeted. He's a winner, and he knows how to win. Love's Timberwolves teammate Malcolm Lee, who played at UCLA, said he had not seen the report and was not aware of the allegations. I really don't know what the consequences are. I guess that'd be up to the school or the NCAA. Hopefully everything will be resolved, Lee told ESPNLosAngeles.com. I'm sure that every school has problems. It's how you deal with it. Star players were rarely punished for disruptions, and other players began to rebel, according to the Sports Illustrated story. One upperclassman, upset over his lack of playing time, told Sports Illustrated he stopped wearing his game jersey under his warm-up so Howland could not put him in for garbage time. Howland dismissed Gordon from the team in December 2009. It was Gordon's second-guessing of Howland's coaching, not partying, that got him singled out, according to the source and according to the story. The message some players took from Gordon's departure was this: at UCLA, you could fight, you could drink alcohol, and do drugs to the point it affected your performance, but the one thing you could not do was question Howland's knowledge of the game, according to the story. Prior to the 2010-2011 season, Howland announced that he had dismissed Morgan from the team for undisclosed reasons. Nelson, who allegedly urinated on Tyler Honeycutt's clothes when he suspected Honeycutt had ratted out a plan to rent a party bus on New Year's Eve, continued to be a problem. He regularly verbally abused assistant coaches and staff members, and on one occasion kicked basketballs into the stands after practice and told the team managers to fetch, according to the report. After each of the incidents, Howland looked the other way. One team member says he asked Howland after practice why he did not punish Nelson, to which he said Howland responded, "He's producing," according to the Sports Illustrated article. Nelson was finally dismissed from the team seven games into this season. Anderson, after a brush with the law when he was arrested for stealing a laptop computer last summer, has seemingly grown up, and he actually has become a team leader. But that doesn't mean the problems are gone. Current UCLA center Joshua Smith, another highly rated recruit, has been allowed to underachieve without consequence this season, according to the SI story. Smith showed up for the season out of shape and has been allowed to miss meetings and arrive unprepared for workouts, according to the report. Same thing as before, an unidentified player told the magazine. Josh is a star, so Ben Howland is not going to hold him accountable. Before the article was published, however, Howland said during a regularly scheduled news conference that he has made mistakes in the past. "No one is perfect," he said. "I would never claim to be that person. Everybody makes mistakes. I'm definitely not perfect." That is the story of the day in college basketball.
Yeah.
It's also the story of the day in sports.
I was going to say, that's the story of the day everywhere. I mean, I've gotten several tweets about it. I've gotten several emails about it, that story is broken. And, wow, that's it's pretty big.
I didn't get anything on Twitter about it.
Yeah, I don't understand how you didn't get that. Oh, wait. I know how.
What?
See, Twitter has a wealth of information. You would have been up to speed on that before it even got to your tablet.
I don't need to. This is what I don't. Okay. I understand the fascination with social media. But there's a commercial out right now, all right? And was it 4G?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I think technology used properly is marvelous. It's incredible. Okay?
Technology brings you here in central Pennsylvania from West Lafayette.
Exactly. Exactly. We never could have done this unless we did it on a phone before or something like that. There's, you know, it's not perfect, but the clarity of this is much greater
Absolutely.
Than anything anybody could possibly imagine.
But go ahead. I didn't mean to get off topic there.
But there's a commercial right now, and they're trying to promote how fast 4G is. And in the commercial, two guys are sitting outside the stadium at a tailgate, and they say, you know, "Did you hear Anderson hurt his ankle?" He says, "Yes, that was so 12 seconds ago. Did you hear the mascot got loose? That was so 27 seconds ago." The mascot, of course, is sitting on the table eating the chips. "Can you put videos on Facebook?" They hold it up. "Can you put videos on Facebook?"
Great spot.
Okay. It's a great spot. It's well done. But do we need it, all this stuff, that fast?
Well, let me ask you this question. And this
do,
is...
Do we need all this stuff that fast?
But hear my question out. Before I answer that, hear this question out. Would a story like that have broken so quickly if the social media network wouldn't have started it.
I don't understand what you're saying. They can do whatever they want with it because nobody knew about it.
Right, but I'm saying,
they could have waited until today to post it on SI.com. They just chose the social media route to promote the social media route.
Well, no, what I was talking about was the references to the social media in the story.
You mean the response to it on Twitter?
No, the comments.
By the former players?
Yes.
By the former players? Yes. That was the easiest way for them to get the interview. That was the easiest way for them to get in touch with somebody.
Well, but that's what I mean. I don't think a story like that would have been able to be gotten out as quickly without the social media content being involved in that, without using social media.
Well, no, the story is apparently written, number one, multi-source, which is a very important part. It's the reaction to the story that was included in that story. Okay? The Sports Illustrated story itself is multi-sourced and not done through social media. It's done by direct interviews.
Well, I was referring to the reactions, though.
The reaction of the story, which is then a part of that story, does come from the social media part of it.
Now, we all do know the dangers of social media. We remember that from about a month ago. I get that part of it, too.
Right. And it looks to me, just on the surface, that whomever wrote this story got in contact with 12 players and then also former managers, which means this story is multi-sourced. And then he even has admissions from some of the individuals actually involved, Nelson being one of them. And Nelson, to his credit, at least owned up to his actions. But do we need to have... It's so 27 seconds ago?
This story
is done in such a way where they could have waited for the magazine to come out on Thursday because nobody knew about it. It wasn't leaked by social media. It wasn't put out by social media. But what they did was, in order to promote their social media site, send it out on the SI app.
Right.
And that was deliberate on Sports Illustrated's part to promote it. Now, it turns out that by doing that, they also got the story out earlier. But that's the role social media played for them. They're trying to promote their SI app, which is they're certainly absolutely entitled to do. It's part of their business. And it actually got out sooner because of it. It wasn't like they put out the magazine, and they have a website, and then after all this, they put it out in the app. No. They put it out first there and that to promote it, which is good business.
Well, this went out on the app. This went out on the email. Every opportunity they had, they took advantage of it. But I was referring to the reactions and so forth that were referred to in there.
Right.
I don't know that you would have gotten that as well or as me. And here, let me ask you this question: is a player or even a former player or even somebody you're interviewing more apt to talk openly in an email or in a tweet than maybe in person sometimes because of being comfortable?
I've never had that experience because the people I'm around have always been comfortable. There has to be. So one of the things that you do when you do this job is you do develop a trust.
Sure.
Okay. And if I walk up to a Rob Bolden or a Matt McGloin or a Paul Jones, the three quarterbacks, and I say to each one of them right now today, hey, guys, I need 2 minutes. They'll say, hey, what do you need? Okay. Because they know darn well I'm around every day and I understand what each one has gone through, plus and minus. And then I'm not going to get them. I'm just going to ask them football questions. And I'm not going to sit there and question them. There's a big difference between asking questions and questioning people. And, if I walk up to Silas, remember last year when everything was going wrong, and media access was cut off? Did you notice on the Nittany Lion update show that I still had players on and it was current and up to date?
Oh, yeah. And I understood how and why you were able to do that.
Right, because I walked in the locker room and said, guys, we have to put something out here. And so they did it. And they were great. And everything was about the game. It was not about what was going on around them. And they understood that. And it was easier for me to get that particular job done and get information out to fans about what was coming up. I mean, without, you know, because, look, I didn't know enough about what was going on to, you know, except what everybody else knew to do shows about that. But, you know, I had a game to do and there was going to be a game played. And since I was assured the game was going to be played, we just tried to do what we normally do, despite the fact it wasn't a normal week. How about that?
That and
it was,
yeah.
And it's because of access, I was able to do it and get, what, I think I had 5 players on one day and 3 on the next.
But you're also kind of internal there. I'm talking about a story like this. I would think that even though it is a print record, being a tweet or being a Facebook post or being an email, it's a little easier to spill the beans, as it were, that way than if you're face-to-face with a reporter.
Well, that's
and feel free to disagree.
Man.
I mean,
I see exactly what you're driving at. I mean, in most phases of life, faceless is more comfortable.
Right.
Okay. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So I think you have a valid point there. You know, I mean, I know in this show, I know you want me to tweet left and right, you know, like I'm eating a sandwich as I'm doing the show or something like that. I mean, you know, things that are really of massive importance that people just love.
Listen,
but I mean, I'm on this show 2 hours every day, and people hear what I have to say. I'm on the pregame show an hour and a half every game. Don't I talk and communicate enough?
Well, and that's, and I mean, don't get me wrong. This started as a joke when we first discussed this.
Oh, I understand. I know. Believe me, I've been having fun with this. This is not that fun. But I mean, I talk and communicate enough?
But see, it's a different, I guess the best way to put it is when we're talking Twitter, it's not necessarily the same stuff you would talk about as you would on the air. Let me give you an example.
Jack's having a sandwich.
Well, I find you as a very interesting person, not only on air, but off air. But not many people know you off air. They know you on the broadcast. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But that's another question altogether.
I hope
do you see what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. He likes tuna subs at Subway. Wow.
See, not everybody knows that. Hey,
one more segment before the top of the hour. We'll come back with that right after this.
Here we are at Front Street Motors at the Wall in Sunbury, and we're getting ready for the second group of mailers to go out. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, it is the income tax matching program, Scott, and we're going to match up to $3,000 on a purchase of a used car, truck, or SUV. And if you don't have any income tax coming back, we're going to give you $500 cash on that sale.
Those mailers are going out to Shamokin, Cole Township, Elysburg. I see, let me look, Mount Carmel, Colpmont, Dorinsight, Milton. What about if you don't live in these
areas? You know what? If you don't live in these areas, we had the voucher in last week's shopper, and we have some vouchers in here that you can pick up.
Hey, Gary, what about credit status?
You know what, Scott? If you have excellent credit, you're going to get rates as low as 2.29% on this sale. And you know what? If you have damaged credit or if you're just getting out of a bankruptcy, this program will also work for you and get you in that car.
You want to hurry into Front Street Motors. Time is ticking away now through Saturday, March 3rd, and then it's over.
It's the feeling you get when everything's just right.
When your life is on the line, every minute counts. You need quality heart care that you can trust. At Evangelical Community Hospital, life-saving cardiovascular care is right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. Evangelical Community Hospital has the latest technology in heart care and an experienced team of experts who know how to use it. Advanced heart care is now only a heartbeat away. For more information, visit evanhospital.com or call 522-2885. Evangelical Community Hospital. Excellence every day.
Weekdays from 10 a.m. till noon, join Dan Patrick on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's something you got to think about. Who would play you in a movie?
Jason Bateman. Not that I had that answer ready.
And you're about what? Are you 6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'3".
I'm not sure what he is, but most actors you see on television, you think they're 6 foot and they're like 5'6".
They're stumpy. Who would you, I'm thinking? For you. Jason Statham.
Statham, that's what I was going to say.
Right.
Dan will talk all things sports and more. Dan Patrick, weekdays 10 till noon and again from 7 to 10 p.m. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
okay.
Hi, I'm here to see my old house. I see it's for sale.
Well, actually, I just sold it.
What? You sold it? How could you do that? I had my family's first Christmas here.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's what we do at Coldwell Banker Penn 1. We sell houses fast.
But this was the house where we had all those cookouts and birthday parties.
Well, we also help people find their dream home.
So you'll help me find a new home?
Absolutely. One where you can create all new memories. To sell your home fast or find the home of your dreams, call me, Lisa Barrick, at 524-7500 or visit CaldwellBankerPenn1.com.
You already know, Tomahawken Mountain Spring Water is delivered to your door in a variety of sizes and containers. Now, they are the proud distributor of Mountainside Coffee, offering 100% Colombian coffee. Assorted teas and hot chocolate delivered right to your business or organization. There's never a fee for equipment and delivery is free. Tomahawken Mountain Spring Water and Mountainside Coffee, there's no better duo on earth. Visit online at TomahawkenWater.com to see how you can take advantage of this winning combination.
Wow. How wild is that?
What was that? Well, that was one off your iPod, so I thought you might like that one.
Well, no, I'm glad you played it. I was really looking forward to
You were waiting for the lyrical version.
Oh, yeah. Now play it again. I mean, I just love the...
Well, you got to get ready. You got a game coming up in a little while. By the way, why in the unusual start time tonight? Is it a TV start time? Is that the unusual start time?
Big Ten Network has had a doubleheader every Wednesday this season. And the doubleheader on the Big Ten Network is always 6:30, 8:30 on Wednesdays, with the idea they play 6:30, then they play 8:30, and then from 10:30 to 11 they have their Big Ten finale show. It's all part of being a TV show. And I like it. I mean, this is that I am in no way complaining at all about the start time of the game. I think the start time of the game at 6:30 is fine. I think it matches up right. The fact that, and this is something I have talked about for a long time, that Eastern time zone game should be the first game up, Central time zone game should be the second time up, and it turns out that tonight the Eastern time zone game here is at 6:30. The Central time zone game at Northwestern with Ohio State is at 8:30 because it's 7:30 Central time. And I talked about that 10, 15 years ago, that the times were skewed, that when they had Big Ten Network, when they had Big Ten games on and then eventually migrating to the Big Ten Network, that the Eastern time zone game should be first. And the reason the Eastern time zone game should be first is because it's an hour earlier. It's an hour later in the East, for one thing. And, of course, you have to allow your fans to get to and from. And if it's a 6:30 game, done at 8:30, you know, fans that live around in this area, they'll be home by 9 o'clock tonight. That's great. Well, it turns out that the second game is 8:30. USA just scored against Italy. Well done.
We cover everything here.
No, I mean, really, there's joy in the streets. I could tell over here at Wabash Landing, at the 55-minute mark, USA leads at 1-0 over Italy. But the second game is 7:30 Central time tonight. See, that the start times make more sense. Next hour, Ron Musselman, as Kevin Herr explodes in joy over our USA...
Goal.
Our goal is to get Sarah Bartlett a raise. She's coming up after the news at the top of the hour.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.